Welcome to In My Own Words, where we stand on our opinions like I stand for celebrating every time a Celtic takes a loss. This is for you, Paul Pierce. Yes, yes, yes. Welcome to episode 71 of the In My Own Words podcast. I'm your host, Tony R. Sanders. Thank you for joining me today. Another Thursday, another pod live from the garage. A couple things to talk about today. Definitely want to talk about Paul Pierce and his shenanigans. But first, a quick update. And actually, I'm going to start with an apology. I owe you guys an apology. For those of you who watch the YouTube show, the YouTube version of the show, the video quality on the last episode was so bad, and I apologize. I've been going cycling through cameras, and I got a new camera last week, and what I should have done was I should have continued to record with the old camera before, while I learned the new camera, right, before switching it out. And so I didn't do that. I thought it was great. I was excited to, like, put up a video with the new camera and didn't learn the camera, so the video was just chalked. It was horrible. The funny thing about that is a lot of people still watched it in comparison to other episodes, and the watch time was like double what my average for my channel is. I don't know what that means. So maybe I should just upload a bad video every week. And maybe the signs are telling me, like, look, just do it bad every week, and then you'll do better. So I don't know. Anyway, I owe you apologies. But took a break last week for spring break. Wasn't off work, but I took the podcast off to spend time with family after work during the evenings. And that was a lot of fun. I got to tell you, though, we had one of the craziest events I've ever been a part of in my life. We had a near-death experience. And we're going to talk about Paul Pierce and all that stuff. But I have to tell you, we had a near-death experience. So I am a father of four, for those of you who don't know. So me and my wife, four kids. So anytime we're all in the car together, it's six of us, right? On this particular day, my sister-in-law was also with us. So now there's seven people in our car. Not in a car, I should stop saying that. In our minivan. We have a van. You got to have a van when you're rolling seven deep, right? You got to have a van. So we're rolling, and for some reason, I can't even explain it, we're driving down the street, and you know, like, there's a lot going on, right? There's it's a four-lane street, two lanes going north, two lanes going south. For some reason, my eye trained on a particular vehicle. It was a black pickup truck, kind of in the distance at this point. Now, to give context to the situation, there's a cemetery over here with a bazillion headstones. It's just like a sobering moment anytime you ride past there to just see this part of the cemetery in this part of the city, in this part of the state, this part of the world, and it's that many people over there. That's a different conversation. But strangely and weirdly related, bunch of cars going by. There's also four police officers at a gas station arresting someone or something like that. With that, there are cars in front of us and behind us. There are vehicles going southbound on this street, multiple vehicles, but for whatever reason, in all that chaos, my vision and my energy was focused on one vehicle. I can't tell you why. I can't explain it, but that vehicle veered over into oncoming traffic in our side of the lane. So we're going north, they're going south, they veered over, and now they're driving the wrong way on the wrong side of the street. Now, my first instinct wasn't to panic. My first instinct was, it's 2021. Dude's probably looking at his phone or something, or like he dropped something, tried to pick it up, and swerved. Unfortunately, we've all done that or seen a version of that, right? You've done something where you're spaced out, or you're looking at your phone or yelling at the kids or whatever, and you veer off and, you know, do something that you didn't intend to do. Then, as he got closer, I noticed that he wasn't going to get back over. On top of that, not only was he not going to get back over, like some mistake where he swerved, he started to accelerate towards us. So now he is on a direct path, gunning for our vehicle, Why? I can't tell you. So at this point, my thought process, which again, I don't know how to explain it to you why I was able to think this way. I pride myself on being a great driver, right? Me and my wife joke all the time, and I'm like, you know, you can complain about my driving all the time, all you want, but I haven't been in an accident, thank God, right? Knock on wood. You can complain about my driving all the time, but you still would rather have me drive than for you to drive, right? I joke about that all the time. So I pride myself on being a pretty good driver. This had nothing to do with me. That all whatever skills I think I have, whatever driving ability I think I may possess, this had nothing to do with me. All I know was, for some reason, my thought process said, if I turn now to avoid him, essentially jumping to oncoming traffic myself to miss him, if I do that now, it's going to give him enough time to redirect and still hit us because he's set on hitting us at this moment. If I try to swerve this way, I may get away, but he's probably going to hit the driver's side back of the van where my kids are. So I just kept going straight as he was coming to us. And at the very last second, in a minivan full of seven people, somehow, by the grace of God, is the only explanation I can give you, I was able to swerve into oncoming traffic, miss him, swerve back into our lane to miss the other cars coming behind him and not get hit by any of the other vehicles behind us. I can't explain it. I don't know how that was able to happen in a minivan. It's not that, it doesn't have that type of mobility, right? You've never seen a minivan in Fast and the Furious. You've never seen The Rock or Vin Diesel or Tyrese or Ludacris, Tokyo drifting in the middle. It just doesn't happen. This vehicle that he was in, black pickup truck, was going so fast by us that you could hear the vehicle go by with the windows up. That's how crazy it was. And he didn't hit anybody behind us. In fact, once he got past us, and there was another car, a truck right behind us, once he got past us, he got back in his own lane on the right side of the street and kept going. Still speeding. Didn't stop to say, are you guys okay? I'm sorry. Still speeding, but on the right side of the road now. I can't explain it to you. So I am grateful to be here. I'm grateful to be alive. I'm grateful that my family is alive. When I think about those situations, this is weird, and I'll say this and I'll leave this topic and we talk about something else. I'm never worried about me in that situation. I'm worried about my family. Even if something were to happen to me, I just have the ultimate belief that I'm going to be good. Being good could be being good on this earth. Being good could be being good in heaven with God. Being good could be a number of things, right? But I just ultimately believe no matter what, I'm going to be good. What I worry about is my family. And so I'm thankful to God that not only for me, but my family, most importantly for me, that my family is good. So, we did a lot of cool and fun things over spring break, but that was like the highlight in a bunch of different ways because I don't know if we survived that impact. I don't know how we make it out of that with the speed that he was going and coming directly towards us and all the other cars around us. You know, it's probably a pileup. It's probably really, really bad. So with that being said, we're going to move on. You guys know I'm a Lakers-Pacers fan, right? That's a well-known thing. That's pretty well-documented. If you've watched any of the podcasts, listened to any of the podcasts, watched me on social, you know I'm a Lakers-Pacers fan. The first team I ever knew about at an NBA level were the Lakers. I didn't even know Indiana had a team. You know how you have uncles and family on both sides of the family, your mom's side, your dad's side. Well, I had uncles on both sides of my family. When we went to their house, in their room, they had big pictures of Lakers, posters. Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Those are the two basketball players I remember early in my childhood. And so I was always a Lakers fan. With that, that means I became a anti-Celtics fan, right? Now, the hate for the Celtics was already deep when I became a Lakers fan as a kid. As I got older and realized that we had our own team and wanted to root for the home team, which made me a Pacers fan, the hate for the Celtics ran deeper because there were a couple times where they weren't a lot of competition, but we'd have to go through the Celtics to be able to get somewhere else. Or we had to beat the Celtics. And there were a couple times Celtics beat us to go play Lakers in the finals, right? And so I never liked the Lakers. I mean, I've never liked the Celtics. I've always loved the Lakers, loved the Pacers. That makes me anti-Celtics. That makes me anti-Pistons and anti-Bulls too, but that's a different conversation for a different day. This is relevant today because I'm anti-Celtics, there's nobody who's ever donned a Celtic uniform outside of Shaq that I love. I respect a lot of them, right? Somebody I went to high school with, Jeff Teague, was a Celtic at one point. I respect him. I respect Kemba Walker. I respect Jason Tatum. I respect Gordon Hayward when he's here. I love their coach, right? I have a lot of respect. Larry Bird, who I love, coach and executive here for the Pacers for a while, born in French Lick, Indiana, went to Indiana State. I didn't like him when he was on the Celtics, though. He was getting no love from me when he was on the Celtics. And that includes Mr. Paul Pierce. Mr. Step Back himself. AKA The Truth. Well, The Truth has been set free. If you haven't found out by now, Paul Pierce lost his job working for Mickey Mouse because he decided to go live on Instagram for 300 viewers to show off his weed smoke and his strippers while he was playing poker in what everyone's assuming is his LA home. Now, there's a couple of things to break down here. First of all, why does Paul Pierce only have 300 viewers? That was a little weird to me. Not that 300 isn't a lot, but it's not a lot for Paul Pierce. Paul Pierce is notorious these days for causing a stir with his rhetoric on the internet. A lot of people show up just to hate on what Paul Pierce is about to do or say. That's a fact. Like, there's no debating that, right? Paul Pierce caused a stir on the internet, especially during the NBA season. And we're in the NBA season right now. We're in that weird spot where March Madness is over. The Masters, yeah, kinda. But there's really not a lot going on until we get to playoff basketball, which happens in about 6 weeks. This is prime Paul Pierce time. This is where you go on the jump and the countdown. And when you're on ESPN and you're doing your thing, and you cause a stir. So if I followed Paul Pierce, which I don't, and I won't, and I saw that he went live, I'd probably tap in to see what he had to say. Because he's going to say something crazy. He's going to say that he's 10 times better than Kobe ever was. He's going to say that if Jason Tatum keeps working hard, maybe he'll be half as good as me one day. He's going to say stupid things. And so normally people tap in to say stupid things or watch him say stupid things and say stupid things to him too. But for some reason, that didn't happen. So that was a little weird. The other thing that was weird is this. I mean, we know that Paul Pierce is a millionaire. We know that he probably lives a life at least more extravagant than our lives. If Paul Pierce did a podcast, which we'll talk about in a second, he wouldn't be doing it like me from his garage. He'd probably be doing it, you know, within a studio and like highly produced, like we see with what's the podcast with Darius Miles? I think it's the Knuckleheads podcast. Like we see with All the Smoke with Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes. Like we see with a lot of these companies, right? Why does he feel the need to show us what he's doing on a Friday night? He goes live on Instagram. He's smoking weed. He's playing poker. He's got a half-naked lady, a scantily clad woman, rubbing his shoulders, giving him a massage. He has another woman butt naked twerking on the ground behind him. And he has another woman that he's talking to in the Instagram comments telling her to come over so she can make some money tonight. Paul Pierce is going wild. But who didn't think he was going wild anyway? If you don't think for a second that some of your favorite analysts and stars and figures, even if they hold these high income, high celebrity jobs, high profile jobs, even at ESPN, that they ain't getting it in on the weekends, you tripping. The only one that might not be, and I won't even say that, he is, but probably not as much, is Stephen A. Smith. Because Stephen A. Smith never stops working. Stephen A. Smith signed like a 24-hour agreement with ESPN, and they still didn't pay him as much as Skip Bayless got paid. Like, Stephen A. Smith is probably the only one who is, like, as soon as the camera goes off, is so tired that he's probably falling asleep. I believe Stephen A. takes naps between commercial breaks. When they go to commercial, Stephen A.'s taking a nap. And then, like, Max and Molly wake him up, like, Steve, 5, 4. Oh, okay, yo. Let me tell you about, you know what I'm saying? Like, Stephen A. is the only one probably not doing it. But you better believe the rest of them are doing it. The difference is, they're not doing it like this. They're not grabbing their phone and say, oh, look at me. Look at what I'm doing. I'm cool. Look at what I'm doing. And that's always been my problem with Paul Pierce. What he is, who he is, the life he lives, from what we know, has always been great. He was great as a basketball player. He was great on the Celtics. Great on the championship team. He was great as an analyst for ESPN. Before they fired him. But it always seemed to me, and I'm not saying this is the case, but it always seemed to me that he was never able to accept the level of greatness he actually was. He always wanted to be somewhere else. Paul, you're a legend. You're a Hall of Famer. You're a champion. Yeah, but I'm the best ever. Whoa, whoa, whoa. No. Listen to what I'm telling you. You're a legend. You're a Hall of Famer. You're a champion. Yeah, but I'm better than Kobe. Whoa. No, just listen to what I'm telling you. What I'm telling you is okay. Paul, you're rich. You can do whatever you want to do on a Friday night. You can smoke weed because it's legal in LA. You can have strippers over at your house instead of going to the club. You don't have to go buy out the bar. The bar comes to you. You own the bar. You don't have to, you know, go to the Vegas to go to the casino. The casino comes to your house because you got it like that. Why? Because you're Paul Pierce. But what you don't need to do is let us know that you're Paul Pierce. We already know you're Paul Pierce. You don't have to show us how Paul Pierce gets down on the weekends. Unless this is all of a bigger strategy. It's always interesting when you see people who have contracts with organizations that are much larger than they are. There are some times where there's a true partnership involved, right? Where two entities come together that are really two entities and they partner up. A lot of times with these personalities, they're not an entity. They're a personality and they work for the entity. And when they partner together, it's really you work for them. And so at any moment, if they don't like what you do, you're out of there. That's the case with Paul Pierce and ESPN. He wasn't an entity. He's a personality. Now, if under your agreement, there's some clauses in there that will allow you as a personality to get out of your agreement, even if you lose some money, I guarantee you, you know what those are. There's no way Paul Pierce doesn't know that if he goes live on Instagram, smoking weed with chicks stripping butt naked behind him, that he's going to lose his job with Disney. There's no way he doesn't know that. So now it makes me wonder, why would you do that? Why would you want to go the extra length to make sure that you lose your job? I think he has other plans. I think that he wanted to get out of the long arm and the long shadow of Mickey Mouse. And I think he wanted to do his own thing. I think very, very shortly, if it hasn't happened by the time you hear this, we're going to hear some media type announcement with Paul Pierce that's going to be more closely aligned to what he wants to do. And I mean that from a financial perspective, but more importantly, from a freedom perspective. So there's been a lot of people that have been leaving ESPN lately, and I don't hear enough people talking about it because ESPN is the worldwide leader. So they control the headlines. They control the narrative. But I'm telling you, there's something going on at ESPN where they're so restrictive that some of their best talent is leaving. Say what you want about Jemele Hill. She got the TVs on. Say what you want about Jemele Hill. She got people talking. And when you work in media and you need attention, you need people to get people talking. Say what you want about Michael Smith. He got people talking. Kerry Champion got people talking. Dan Le Batard got people talking. Colin Cowherd, Skip Bayless. The list goes on and on. Chris Broussard. The list goes on and on. They get people talking. And you could tell that they're valuable because as soon as they left ESPN, They got multiple offers and some of them multiple agreements. Not one, not two, not three. Jemele Hill has like six companies going right now. She has her podcast. She has her production company. She's doing documentaries. She's doing other podcasts. She has the article that she writes in The Atlantic. She's doing something with Vice TV with Carrie Champion. Carrie's another one. So I think that there's people were, I think there's a lot of value in saying, even if I have to sacrifice a bag here, I'm going to go over here and get some freedom and possibly a bigger bag too, because I can get it from multiple places and still work less than Stephen A. Smith does, but probably make more money than him. People are questioning Deion Sanders going to Barstool. I understand why you see the brand of Coach Prime and you see the brand of Portnoy and Barstool and you don't see that marriage coming together. But guess what? It looks like Deion's doing his thing. I don't think he would have been able to stay at the gig that he had and Coach Jackson State at the same time. But if you're doing it at Barstool and they got that bag and you got the freedom to do it how you want to do it and record at your leisure and do it however you want to do it because it's the wild, wild west of the internet, you can do that. So I'm willing to bet that Paul Pierce is going to be coming out with his own show really soon. And it's probably going to be on Barstool or something of the sort. He might even go to Black Effect Podcast Network with Charlamagne like Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes did with All the Smoke. Who knows? Right? iHeartRadio. There's going to be something coming out with Paul Pierce. And I propose in closing that Paul Pierce name his new show Strippers and Stepbacks. Come on. When you look at the career, when you look at the career of Paul Pierce going from NBA day one to today getting fired by ESPN, he's going to be known for two things. That step back jumper, especially once he, you know, gets to that corner of the free throw line, he can step to the side and hit you with that one. And he's going to be known for these strippers that he lost his job to or ESPN for going live on IG. Step back and strippers. Now, there's another S word that you may know Paul Pierce for. It's stabbings. I don't know if we should add that one in. I'm going to leave that one out. You know, I'm glad he survived that. Benzino's crazy. I'm glad he survived that. We're going to leave that one out. But we're going to call the podcast Step Backs and Strippers. And we could talk about basketball, and we could talk about the life surrounding basketball. Who better to talk to about some of the nightlife surrounding basketball in the nightclub, the strippers, the girls, this and that, better than Paul Pierce, especially right now? That's my pitch. Paul, if you watch this, I got a show idea for you. It's called Step Backs and Strippers, where you examine the life surrounding basketball. You could talk about basketball. You could talk about all the things that come with being good at the game, being a star. But we also want to know about that star attention. We also want to know what's going on in the nightclubs. We want to know what's going on, really going on in the card games and on the plane. Don't snitch on nobody, but bring some fellas on that could talk about living that life, especially the ones that live the life that we forgot about now. Like, get Steve Francis on the phone. Get Stephon Marbury on the phone. We got to get Antoine Walker back in the studio, and you and Twan do y'all thing. We got to, like, you see what I'm saying? Step Back and Strippers by Paul Pierce, produced by me, coming to you soon. All right, in closing, I want to do a marriage advice that nobody asked for, one of my favorite segments on the show. This one is titled, Is My Marriage Over? This is interesting. I'll read it. I'm a 30-year-old female married for 3 years. We've been together for 10. We have two kids. I recently had to drive to pick up my sister. She's going to be our child care provider for the summer. I took our children on the drive with me so my husband could work. That's beautiful. I'm a full-time student with a part-time job. When I got home, my husband sat down, ignored the kids, and asked me what I'm cooking for dinner. After I just spent 7 hours driving home, I explained how I was tired from looking after the kids by myself all day. He felt he worked harder at work than I did. Oh my God. He felt that he worked harder at work than I did. It's always a competition with him about who's more miserable. I ended up cooking dinner. He didn't hug me or kiss me when I got home. When I tried to kiss him, he pulled away, asking, what? Is my marriage over? Well, I don't know if your marriage is over or not, but I do know one thing for sure. Your husband's an idiot. Okay? Your husband's stupid. You hear me when I say it? Listen to me say it. Your husband is stupid. For a man to even let you take the two kids to go pick up your sister, if he has options, if he has another choice, and you got to make a 7-hour drive, I know you don't want to do that with two kids. Leave the kids with me. I'll take care of it. Either I'm going to have them home with me while I work. We'll figure that out. Or I'm going to have the babysitter come over. I'm going to do something temporarily for this day so you don't have to drive 7 hours with two screaming babies in the back. Okay. So your husband, now we know your husband is stupid and selfish. Now we know those two things, okay? In addition to that, when you get home from this long journey, still expecting you to cook is stupid and selfish. What are you going to cook? No, what are you going to cook? What are you going to eat? That's a better question. If he had been considerate, he would have had dinner ready for you and the kids by the time y'all got home from this journey and your sister, because your sister's coming to help you guys out, him and you, for the summer. Now, one of the problems he got going on in his head is that he thinks because he's the man of the house, a woman better have a hot plate on the stove when he gets home so he could sit down and eat his meal. I went out and I killed the brontosaurus, and her job is to go in there and fry it up and serve it to me. That's his problem, right? That's what he's thinking. And I don't care about your little penny-ante part-time job. I don't care that you're going to school to better yourself. Get your degree. I hope you get a degree and start making more money than him, by the way. He needs that balance in his life. I don't care about none of that. I care about, I'm a man, hear me roar. Okay, roar on. You're going to be a lonely lion roaring by yourself in a minute if you keep doing this stupid, selfish stuff. We got to break out of that mentality, because a true marriage is a partnership. And in that partnership, it's all about balance. Me and my wife have this conversation all the time. There are certain things that need to take place for a household to operate successfully. And if we were to put all those things on the table, right, and start making selections on which ones we were going to do, it wouldn't be based on our gender or our sex. It would be based on our abilities and how well we should do that, or how well we can do that. Some households believe that the woman should pay the bills and handle the finances and do all that. The man go makes the money, and the woman makes sure everything is paid. We don't do that at my house. I can stay on top of the bills. I can make sure that everything gets paid. So I'm going to handle the budget. Now, we do the budget together, but what I mean by that is I'll write out the budget, I'll get everything in order, and then I'll sit down with her for approval. And as long as we're good, we're good. If she wants to make some changes, we make those changes and we keep rolling, but we're both involved in the process. When it comes to cooking meals, she doesn't like to cook, but she does it. I love to cook. So if the kitchen is clean, I can't wait to get in there and whip up something. Right? But if I'm working that night, or if I got meetings that evening, or if I got projects that I'm trying to do, even though she doesn't necessarily like that, she's going to step up and make sure that we have dinner that night. Whether she order it, whether she cook it, heat it up, what, I don't care where it comes from. We're going to have dinner that night. And that's what your stupid, selfish husband needs to hear. And I'm talking like that because I want to get through to this person to have him really see, you know, how crazy he is. Now, as far as what to do to stop this behavior, stop allowing it. Because that's the other thing that's happening here. You're allowing your husband to be stupid and selfish. The key part of that message was when she said, I cooked it anyway. No, you're going to be that stupid and that selfish? Okay, play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. You'll see what I cook. Wait on me. Yeah, go wait on me. And you see, you did it anyway, and he wasn't even appreciative of that. You couldn't even get a hug and a kiss later. What are we doing? What are we doing? Sometimes you got to teach a lesson. Listen, I'm tired. I'm not cooking today. You know how many times my wife said that to me? Hey, I'm tired. I'm not doing it today. Okay, I got it. That's all I need to hear. Matter of fact, I want to be up on it before you have to say that, so I don't even have to hear it. Sometimes I can just look at you and tell. I can see what you're doing and tell. Okay, well, this ain't tonight. I'm going to go ahead to Papa John's, Donato's, you know, whatever. I need you to come over. It's an emergency. Like, sometimes you just got to do it. But if you're going to keep doing this behavior when he shows you this, he's going to keep thinking it's cool because he got what he wanted at the end of the night. And I imagine that's happened in some other places in your relationship, but you didn't put that in the note, so I ain't going to talk about that. All right, man, that's the show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Make sure you check us out on YouTube. Check out the podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And I will see you guys next week. Peace.